Let's start by getting our bona fides out of the way. I myself, I confess, I'm more of a Narnia guy than a Middle Earth guy. Rick Hall, fantastic actor, improviser, musician. You're playing Bilbo Baggins in this epic musical production of Lord of the Rings. Is this a dream come true? Are you a Tolkien nerd from way back?
I don't think I've ever confessed this publicly.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 18th year, number 935, playing Bilbo Baggins. The Lord of the Rings, a musical tale, begins performances this week in Auckland, New Zealand, and my friend Rick Hall is playing the iconic Bilbo Baggins, among many other roles. This musical theatrical version of Tolkien's tale began in England and ran at the Chicago Shakespeare Theater in August, where Rick joined the company. Rick is married to Laura Hall from TV's Whose Line Is It Anyway, and who I talked to last year on the podcast about her improvised show Phony Winning Musical. And Rick began our conversation with a confession.
Laura and I went to see Fellowship of the Rings with our daughter, the first of the three in the trilogy. And at the end of the movie, they look and they see Moria in the distance, and they go, "We've made it this far." And the credits start running, and Laura and I both went, "What? What?" And our daughter had to turn to us and go, "It's a trilogy." So I'm a bit of a I was a bit of an idiot, but I have educated myself, and being in that world where, I mean, there's several people in the cast that know the Silmarillion, they know all Tolkien stuff, and I've gotten an education, and I love the world. Although Laura kept saying, "Why can't they just stay in the Shire? Why do they have to keep fighting?"
Right. As we say in our show, All the Great Books Abridged, why can't they just move the volcano a hell of a lot closer?
Right.
I imagine this production calls upon many of your skills and much of your training, right? Although maybe not improv, but you get to be a musician, you get to sing, you get to move. This thing is epic.
It is. It's, you know, I've been doing this for almost 40 years and professionally, and it's the biggest show I've ever been in, the biggest production. And of course, at Second City, we're an ensemble. We build the show together. This show is solidly an ensemble. There is no way. There's one of the guys who is an orc and an elf and plays a few other things, but you don't even know how much he's doing in the show because he's in costume and you can't see his face. But Adik is his name, and all the people that are the orcs are working all the time, and they're elves and they're orcs. And so I play Bilbo Baggins. And yes, you ask if it was a dream of mine. No, I know the iconic role that Bilbo is, and I was really excited to do it. So I got interviewed once, and I did not give her the answer she wanted. I said, really, I have great hair and a really cool costume. So I let the hair and the costume do the acting, and I just say the words. She was so disappointed when I said that.
Listen, if that lady can't handle the truth, she needs to get out.
That's right. No, so this is it's a 3-hour show, and I am Bilbo. I do a little improvising in the beginning because We start in the audience because the whole audience, we treat them as hobbits that have come to Bilbo's 111th birthday party, 111 birthday party. And so I'm talking and hanging out with people. Then I go on stage and I introduce all the tribes, the Baggins and Zaboffins, Tooks and Brandy Bucks, Grubs, Chubs, Burrowses and Hornblowers. And the audience will chime in with us. And the last thing I say is Proudfoots. And one of the actors who's in the audience says, Proud Feet. And I say, oh, Proudfoots. Many times there's an audience member that will join in with Proud Feet.
Really?
So, yeah. So the director said, yeah, you can improvise with the audience right then, but not after that.
I love a production that leans into the controversies, the important controversies of these massive works.
Right. Gripping controversy. Exactly. The first preview, I have a very famous line, which is, I don't know half of you as well as I should like, and I like less than half of you, half as well as I care to. Oh, I can't even think of it right now. I haven't done it for you. But that night, I screwed it up just a little bit, like I just did there. Uh-huh. And a guy who was dressed like Bilbo in the front row said, close. I never screwed it up after that until right now. But I've got a couple of weeks before we go to New Zealand, so I get my lines back.
But that's such a great lesson. You know, I just started rehearsals for Christmas Carol again at the Goodman, and these stories are important to people. You know, you've got to do it right, and it says something about the success of your production that you have people not only coming to see you, but traveling from afar to come to Chicago to see it when it would play it at Chicago Shakes, and also heading down under and seeing it even before it came to this hemisphere with over in England, where it originated.
It was in England, and it was, I think, at the Watermill Theater, and I believe it was about 4 hours long. Mm. Or maybe that's a second. But in Toronto, it was kind of panned because it was too long and rambly, being over 4 hours. A friend of mine said, I think it was 6 hours long. I have no idea, because she saw it in Toronto. But they've honed it down and edited into a palatable version. But what happens to, and this is hard for some real hardcore, Middle Earth nerds to let go of, is things have to be condensed. You lose, where are the writers of Rohan? Well, they are in a 4-hour version that we're not doing. Yeah. I play the Steward of Gondor later, and he's a combination of two ruling kings, Theoden and the Steward of Gondor. So they've make him an amalgamation of those two. So you do miss a few things, but it is really good storytelling. Yeah. And that's the main thing. By the end, when Frodo and Sam have their moment at the end, it is silent in the theater. And that theater at Chicago Shakespeare holds 850 people. And when 850 people are not opening candy wrappers or moving around, yeah, you're like, okay, we got it. This is good storytelling.
Hi, this is Ian Gomez, and you're listening to the Reduce Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? We'll perform the ultimate Christmas show abridged from December 9 through 11 at the South Padre Island Convention Center in Texas. And then next March of 2025, we'll return to the Merrimack Repertory Theater in Lowell, Massachusetts for the 3-week Lort Theater premiere of The Comedy of Hamlet, a prequel. Check out the touring page at our website, reducedshakespeare.com, or our social media pages for venue and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with Rick Hall, who starts performances this week in The Lord of the Rings, A Musical Tale, in Auckland, New Zealand. Rick was breaking down all the roles he plays and things he gets to do in this epic musical experience.
So I start off as Bilbo, and in the beginning he has his party and he puts on the ring and disappears, which I jump through a trap door, and which I'm 65 and I'm jumping through a trap door. Like, well, I got that going for me, because I don't know if there are a lot of guys my age that can jump through a trap door without breaking their hip.
Yeah, I know. That's incredible. At your age, you get to leap around like a kid.
Right. And then I come back as Bilbo older. But a lot of times I run off stage, change into kind of like my neutral hobbit costume, and play the trombone. And I mean, this is like pit orchestra trombone playing. My wife, Laura, is a musician, as you know, a musical director, and she recorded all of my parts. And so I could know how to play them, because they're in crazy time signatures, 10:16 and 12:18, or I don't know. But she would say, you'll count this in four and it'll go like this. And I had to learn them like ABBA, you know, learn them by listening to what Laura was playing. And then one day in rehearsal, I said to the musical director, I'm like, so where do we have our music stands for playing this music? And he looked at me like, oh, you poor thing. And he went, you'll have it memorized. And I said, no, I won't. And I do now. So it's, but yeah, I play trombone. Then I have three or four times when I play harmonica solos and join in with the band playing harmonica. And as a steward of Gondor, I'm sword fighting. At one point, the steward of Gondor gets killed. Sorry, spoiler alert.
What?
Yeah, I know. And the steward of Gondor gets killed. I get drug off stage. And 8 seconds later, I am in a different costume coming out and playing the big fanfare at the end of the battle. While they're still battling, the big fanfare. And I'm so out of breath, I can barely play the fanfare. But it's really cool to... my friends came and they were like, it was like, where's Waldo? Where's Rick? Oh, he's over there now. So,
but again, what fun. This is kind of why we got into this business. You know, aside from wanting to meet girls, we get to swing a sword around. We get to jump through holes in the thing. We get to play different characters. It's amazing.
Yeah. And when I was at Second City, I met the girl that I married. So I don't have to meet girls anymore. So it's more about the sword fighting and everything. But yeah, I got to say, we moved from L.A. to the Midwest 2.5 years ago. And people kept saying, are you retiring? And we're like, no. And if you're like me, Austin, here, I don't want to retire. I want to do a show, get a standing ovation, walk off stage and die in the wings, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what I hope for you too.
Thank you. I've died on stage once or twice, I have to say.
Yes. Yes.
But you're right. Our job is our passion. So why would we retire and quit the thing we love to do? It's not the most well-paying job in the world consistently, but why retire?
Well, it's funny. I went and we had 2 months off between the Chicago Shakespeare version of this and the New Zealand version. And I shot one day on a movie and made more in one day than I did with 2 weeks of doing 8 shows a week.
Yeah.
But then again, there's nothing like being in front of an audience that is there because they want to see this show. And then we got a standing ovation every night.
Yeah.
8 shows a week for 5 weeks. Yeah. What, you can't beat that.
Well, and as epic as the production is, it's not a cast of thousands or millions, whatever Peter Jackson had. It's a small-ish ensemble. And again, that's the power and the fun of theater, is a small, you know, band of brothers, a small fellowship of actors, shall I say, you know, telling a story. And that's hugely fun for both, I think, the artists on stage and the audience.
Yeah. Yeah. We actually, the first time we ran the whole show in rehearsal, we got to the ending and cast members were had tears in their eyes because they were, well, for one thing, we made it through the damn thing. But because it was such an emotional, it's such a sweet, well-told story, and we all did it together.
Yeah.
We have a cast of 24, so it's a pretty big cast.
Yeah.
But everybody plays multiple roles. And I mean, even Gollum, who, by the way, Tony Bizzuto is Gollum. He is amazing. And he, but in the beginning of the show, he's a hobbit. He is one of the dark riders, these horse heads that come out with it. And he's under a cape, so you can't really see him. He's playing some rhythm instruments. He's dancing. He's an elf. But then in the whole second act, he's Gollum. But he's been busy the whole show.
Right.
And that's the way it is for everybody in the show. The guy that plays Aragorn, which is the Steward of Gondor's son, talks about my father. His father's had been under a spell. He's under a lethargy. And he wants, you know, go save my father. And then he gets killed. And he's the orc that kills me in battle later. A little patterns right there.
Are there, it's an original score, right? It's not existing tunes.
Right. But the score stood alone on its own since the Watermill production in the UK. And A.R. Rahman, I think that's how you pronounce his name, wrote it. And it's massive. I mean, it's big. And the trombone playing I'm doing I'm playing some really cool music. Yeah.
Is the trombone, has that long been in your repertoire, the trombone, or did you pick it up for this?
No, I played it in high school, and I was pretty good in high school. And then Laura, every now and then, my wife, will say, hey, I need to record something with a trombone, so get your lip in shape. And I'll say, okay, I can do that. I can rehearse it twice and do it once because I blow my lip out that quickly. Yeah. So but other than that, I haven't played since high school, 40 years ago. So this was a big job just to get my embouchure and my lip in shape.
Yeah. I bet. Well, congratulations on the part. Congratulations on the run. Congratulations on getting to do all these things that we once did in high school and thought we'd never get to do again.
Exactly. And I've never done stage combat as choreographed as this is. And it's you know what? It's good for our older brains to be doing new stuff, you know, keeping us active mentally and physically. I lost weight doing the show. So, yeah, it's good fun.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, except for one more thing where I ask Rick the most important question yet, and which I'll share with you in about 60 seconds, so stick around. The Lord of the Rings, a musical tale featuring my guest Rick Hall and an over 20-person ensemble, starts performances this week and runs from November 6th through December 1st, 2024, in Auckland, New Zealand. Go to aucklandlive.co.nz for more information. Then send us your epic quest via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com or throw a comment to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, reducedshakespeare.com, or visit my website, theshakespeareans.com. Thanks as always to my precious Matthew Croke, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Peter M. Gallagher, no reason, it's just random. Special thanks to my TV husband, Ian Gomez. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 935 2805ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Do you do all your hair, beard, and hairy feet work?
No, we don't have hairy feet. That was the biggest discussion, they said, of the whole production. They said they spent more time talking about the hairy feet. We all wear sandals. And don't worry about the hairy feet. Don't worry about the fact that I'm 5'7", playing a very much smaller person than I am. But I do all my own hair work. Some of my college friends came, and in the beginning, Bilbo is 11 years old, but he's got the ring, so he hasn't aged. So I'm very spry. Then I come back 17 years later, and Bilbo is really old. And my friends from college said, how do they make you look so old? And I go, we are that old. All I do is mess up my hair, walk with a cane, and put on glasses. People, we are that old. So I do all my own hair work, yes.
And do all your own old work, too.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.